in complete dependence, friends, upon our Lord, to open up his holy word of truth to us and grant an application to us, not just in our souls, which we need primarily, but also help in our life day by day physically. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, and the beginning of verse 5. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. The Old Testament is primarily concerned with Israel and Judah of old. And yet it's a living word for the Church of Christ, which was to come. We hear that many only read the New Testament and they reject the Old. But, oh dear friends, what beautiful things are found in the Old Testament, the scriptures which Christ spoke of when he said, in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they testify of me. We find, don't we, Christ testified from the beginning of the Old Testament in Genesis to the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, a testimony of the coming of the Son of God, who was to destroy the powers of evil, the power of Satan. Those words to Satan in the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman, or that word seed can also be translated son, of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Dear friends, there was to be a battle, a fight between good and evil. And the promised Son of God, to be born of a woman, would be the victor. Yes, he would suffer a bruising. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, we read, don't we? And what a bruising. But, dear friends, that bruising didn't destroy his life and power. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it again. Satan's head completely overcome, his power overcome. And he can be no longer the victor of accusing of the brethren. He will try, and he does try, but he won't succeed. For all those the Father gave unto his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of their sins, is a complete victory. And nothing shall overturn it. Jesus says, they shall come, and I will raise them up at the last day. Oh, dear friends, what wonderful words of truth and promises there are found throughout the Holy Scriptures. How easily we can neglect them, can't we? Be overtaken with the things of this earth and, oh, the value we put upon so many benefits we have today in the materialism of our lives, so much to help us in the daily tasks, in our communications, our transport, in the health service, and so we may go on. And when they go wrong or something interferes with our use of them or their benefit to us, how ready we are to complain, and as if we value them, and perhaps we do. I hope we don't. But value them more than the coming of Christ to save his people from their sins. Oh, dear friends, where do our values lie? Is Jesus Christ the chiefest above 10,000, the altogether lovely one to us? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, our Lord. Oh, dear friends, let us think upon these things and be conscious of them. Where our true love lies, our true values lie. Oh, precious, precious Jesus to those who have been saved from their sins. These Old Testament truths, as I say, primarily are spoken to the Israel and to the Jews. In them was this promised Redeemer, this promised Saviour. This Messiah, as he is called, would come. He would be born of Abraham's seed. Seed not just for Israel and Judah, but a seed in all whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Jews and Gentiles. He shall come. And dear friends, we've read in that prophecy of Isaiah, one of those times when his coming was foretold by the prophet. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Dear friends, he is God. No separation when he came between himself and the Godhead. In him, in his body, in him, when he was here upon the earth, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was one with the Father in the power of the Spirit for the redemption of sinner souls. And yet, dear friends, we find Israel and Judah so prone to sin, so prone to leave their God, so prone to rebel and turn away from the word of their God, the only living God, to deny his ways. They may have worshipped him outwardly, physically, in the flesh, with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were only fit, dear friends, to be cast away from God into an eternal damnation. Therefore, dear friends, when we read portions like this, unto us a child is born. Oh, the depth of the love of God. Oh, the immensity of his mercy, his abounding grace, his faithfulness. He would never leave them nor forsake. Why was that? Jacob have I loved. Oh yes, Esau he hated. It was the sovereign love of God he bestowed upon this people. That was the only way they were kept from complete destruction. when they came out of Egypt, and they went through the wilderness many a time. Many a time they rebelled against the Lord, didn't they? Complaining of this, complaining of that. But he never set the fullness of his wrath against them. Yes, he chastened them. He solemnly chastened them at times for their unbelief when he told them to go and take the promised land. And they saw that this, the towns were defended with high walls, and the Anakims were there, these great strong men. And they said, They looked to themselves and says, we cannot go up. We cannot fight against them. There was no exercise of faith. Oh, dear friends, how solemn the word is where it says that which is not of faith is sin. They sinned against the Lord. And he said, none of those who came out of Egypt would enter into the promised land. That was except Lot and Caleb, who followed the Lord fully, who believed by faith. Oh, dear friends, it's important, isn't it, to believe the word of God and his commands by faith, and not to rebel against them, not to say we cannot keep them, we are unable to, oh, they are too strong for us. Dear friends, that's sin. And yet, dear friends, although Israel sinned so greatly, it's amazing how we read the number who came into the promised land was very similar to the number that came out of Egypt. Oh, the Lord was merciful, the Lord was gracious unto his own people. And he set this promise before them. There would come a Saviour, a Redeemer, the Lamb for the sacrifice for their sin. Not a Lamb as it was under the law of Moses, which could cleanse them from their outward deed against the law, when they could bring their own sacrifice and offer it before the high priest and before the Levites and so on. No. This was a Lamb given of God who possessed a soul. And the soul was his soul was to be poured out unto death. And he was to give himself a sacrifice for sin, bearing the sins of many. Oh, dear friends, what love. God commendeth his love toward us. That whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But dear friends, to die and experience that great work, which was of the Father's will to pay the price for sin, he had to be born, didn't he? He had to be born here upon this earth. He had to come and condescend to be made like unto his brethren, flesh and blood. And dear friends, when he was born, all those shepherds went into Bethlehem and saw this child lying in a manger. A weak, you might say, helpless babe. But he was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. His name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Made like unto his brethren. Yes, for the suffering of death. To be crowned with glory and honour. At the destruction of Satan's power. Dear Francis, in this name of Jesus, that we come to worship, isn't it? No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. But dear friends, the solemn thing is this. in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. They had to wait a long time for the promise to be fulfilled, didn't they? But dear friends, he is faithful that hath promised. It would come. I think we read in Daniel of when Daniel, as was one of his visions concerning that which would come to pass. He says, the thing was sure, but the time was long. They had to wait. They had to wait the Lord's coming, the Lord's time for Christ's coming. But in the end, he came born of the woman, born of Mary. And he came unto his own. This is the solemn bit. His own received him not. Oh, dear friends, there's a certain solemn truth there, isn't there? Christ was the Word. The Word was made flesh. Dwelt upon this earth, as John says, dwelt amongst us. But they received him not. Dear friends, we have the Word which testifies of Christ before us now, haven't we? We've got the Word from Genesis to Revelation. We've got Genesis. We've got the Word in the book of the law, in the prophets, in the historical parts, in the Psalms, and in the glorious epistles, and so we, but the whole of the counsel of God is here. Do we receive it? We may hear it. There was many who heard the voice of Jesus, many who saw his miracles that he did. Oh, but their hearts were hardened. And we read in one place, don't we, how the God of this world blinds our eyes from the truth. Dear friends, has there been effect? Has there been effect of the Word of God upon your heart? If there has, dear friends, you know what it is to be a sinner. If the Word of God has an effect upon you, know what it is to tremble before the judgment of God, which is contained in his Word. Dear friends, and if you tremble at the Word of God because of your sins, then you know the working of the Holy Spirit. For he will teach us of our sins. He will teach us of righteousness, not our own. Like those to whom Jesus went about in Judea and Galilee, those Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, their righteousness was in themselves. They were in darkness, they had no light of the truth. But where the Holy Spirit works, dear friends, there's a light given to show you your nature's darkness, that you've not any ability or to do any righteousness that is acceptable to God. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, because they are mixed with all our iniquities, and our righteousness do not blot out one of those iniquities and sins. We're all as an unclean thing. And dear friends, that makes us tremble, and it makes us cry, makes us pray, makes us call for his mercy. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know that publican, he had to leave his work, didn't he? Yes, he was a tax collector, doing that which was good for himself and for his family if he had any. Dear friends, but he was taught by the Spirit that he was a sinner. And there was no salvation through the offering of those bulls and those goats. He never came to the high priest. He never came before the Levites. He went straight into the temple of God, as close as he could get physically to the Holy of Holies, in a spiritual sense, in a physical sense. But dear friends, in a spiritual sense, he came before God. Yes, in the name of Jesus, if you will have it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was only God that could save him. And that was through the gift of his Son. Dear friends, he went down to his house justified. He had peace. Pardon is sealed. Peace with God. Oh, this glorious truth, this man shall be the peace. He born in Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting, the eternal Son of God, from of old, from everlasting, the begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Who came not to call the righteous, oh, but sinners to repentance. Thou Bethlehem Ephrata, out of thee shall come forth he that shall be ruler in Israel. This man shall be the peace. This man shall be the peace. Dear friends, the revelation of Christ within us by the Holy Ghost breaks, doesn't it? Breaks that bondage to sin. We now have within us a broken heart. Yes, the hard heart has been broken. In fact, the hard heart has been replaced with a heart of flesh. And that is a broken heart, mourning over sin. Mourning after Christ, what he has done to pay the price of sin. Oh, dear friends, these are things are real in our experience. If we are to know any assurance of a hope of eternal life, this man, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, our peace. Dear friends, when we know this work of his grace within us, this revelation, oh, we shall know that change of our heart. There'll be no doubt about it. You won't say, I think so. You say, I know. A sweet assurance of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because that power, dear friends, is his voice of love and mercy that sounds through Calvary. All this was done for you. Oh, dear friends, these are the real things of the gospel of Christ. To be known in our hearts. Otherwise, any hope we have of eternal life, they'll prove vain at the end, won't they? But this man shall be the peace. It doesn't mean to say, dear friends, we shall have everything smooth and easy upon this earth, does it? Yes, those angels, when they came and revealed themselves, were revealed to the shepherds what had taken place. Peace on earth, goodwill towards man. Peace on earth. But Jesus said, don't think that I come to give peace. I came to give division. Is there a contradiction there? God forbid. Christ Jesus came not to give peace on earth as what we might naturally think of as peace. Of wealth, prosperity, perfect health and strength, and all the pleasures this earth can give us, all the entertainment. Oh, it's what we by nature look for, isn't it? In the lust of our flesh, in our unregeneracy, our peace is in what we can achieve and how great perhaps we can obtain ourselves to be of high esteem amongst others and to satisfy the pride of our heart. Oh, but Christ came to give division. A division that wasn't the peace. The peace he gives is inward. The peace of the soul. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now this is the division, dear friends, the separation from the love of sinning to the love of Christ. That's our peace, isn't it? To know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside peace. But dear friends, whilst we continue upon this earth, you know we shall have tribulations, as the scripture says, troubles, as everybody who's born upon this earth do, because it's a sin-cursed earth. We shall all have troubles of sickness and pain. We shall all have things rise against us in our perhaps relationships one with another, in our families, in our businesses, in our nation. Or we shall have enemies rising against us. Dear friends, although our times are in the Lord's hand, he doesn't promise to give us everything smooth and easy, has he, in our daily lives? No. But what he has promised, he will never leave us or forsake us. But he will help us. He will strengthen us. He will maintain us. Our God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As we depend upon him, as we commit all our cares upon him, all our matters, all those things which grieve us, we've heard recently, haven't we, of people who've lost loved ones, and perhaps we've all lost loved ones over times in our lives. It brings grief and sorrow. But dear friends, there can still be a peace. There still be a peace. A peace that such a thing is before us each. Such an end is for us all. None of us shall live forever. And there's a look by faith in Christ Jesus beyond the things of time to those things that are eternal. For he who has shed his blood for the pardoning of your sins, he has taken his life again from the grave, that because he lives, ye shall live also. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. In the time difference of natural grief, natural sorrow, natural weeping, in the loss of our natural loved ones, deep within, there's that looking forward to that, oh, the time when it will come for us. It will be well with our soul. That's the peace, isn't it? That's the peace what Christ has to give. Not as the world giveth. My peace is that I've blotted out all thy transgressions, and I love thee freely. My peace is thou hast made me serve with thy sins. I will pardon your iniquities, remember your sins no more. I will present you faultless before the throne of my Father in that day of judgment. And he shall look upon you, but he'll look upon you through me. And you'll be covered and clothed in my righteousness, my obedience to my Father in what I have done in fulfilling his word to pay the price for sin. My righteousness is yours. And thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That's our peace, isn't it? This man shall be the peace. Dear friends, where else can we find such peace? Nowhere. Nowhere at all. But then as we journey through life, these times of tribulation, these times of troubles, these times of temptations. Dear friends, what do I mean by temptations? I don't mean temptations to sin, although that is included. But there's a deeper temptation than those. We have to pray to the Lord, don't we, to rule our hearts by His Holy Spirit, to govern our words and ways, that His grace may abound in every part, teach our tongues to sing His praise. But dear friends, when troubles come, perhaps suddenly, things don't happen as we wish. Poor Jacob said, all these things are against me. And you know you've got your bitterness of things of life, haven't you? And perhaps you've prayed regarding them, and they don't seem to be answered. And Satan comes in. Well, not answered in the time you want them to be answered. And Satan comes in, doesn't he? Oh, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, he only wants to devour the children of God, those whom the Lord has favoured and blessed, to separate you and bring you back from that grace, and bring you into utter despair. And oh, dear friends, in the time of our castings down and sadness, do you know something about the questioning of your belief? Do you find strengthening of the spirit of unbelief within you? Does He cast doubt? You have your doubts upon the mercy and the love of God, and you begin to contradict His word. You may even come to perhaps doubt there is a God. Oh, the power of Satan is very strong to bring you into despair. That's the temptation. The temptation to accuse God for not being merciful and gracious and not being long-suffering. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus has blotted out all our transgressions. And God will not let us be tempted above what we are able. He will make that way to escape, that we are able to bear it. That means there has to be a carrying of these temptations. But He does not leave it to ourselves, because He's faithful that promised. He brings us again to commit it all unto Him, our sins in the time of our troubles, our doubts, our fears, which contradict His gracious word. And oh, and even as it might seem in darkness, dear friends, our hearts broken under the trials and tribulation. But He looketh upon the heart. And dear friends, He does not cast us away, though vile. Christ tempted in all points such as we are, yet He without sin. But if He is, we made Him serve with our sins. And He's bore them away, blotted them out as a thick cloud, to remember no more. And in due time, dear friends, He will appear again. And we shall have known that through these trials and temptations, the immensity of His love and mercy and grace. We shall prove the weakness of our own heart and weakness of our own flesh. But this man will be the peace. When the Assyrian, when Satan, as it were, the enemy comes into our soul. Paul puts it like this to the Philippians who were greatly tried. He says, be careful, be full of care for nothing. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We don't give the Lord the thanks for the troubles and the tribulations and the temptations, do we? These fiery trials, we don't give Him thanks for those, no. But we can give thanks in them that He has promised to be with us. We can give thanks for His faithfulness. We can give thanks for His promises that He will not let us be tempted above what we are able, but He will be with us. When you pass through the fire, thou wilt not be burnt. In the deep waters, they shall. I will be with you. In the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. For I am the Lord thy God, thy Saviour. And Paul says, commit your way there to the Lord in prayer and supplications, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Something secret even sweetens all, that these are the trials and temptations which the people of the Lord shall know. Oh, Jesus was tempted by Satan, wasn't he? 40 days, 40 nights, and at other times as well. And it's through him, casting all our temptations upon him, dear friends, that we come safely through. Left to ourselves, we shall fall. But oh, he's a mighty Saviour. He's an almighty Saviour. Satan will try his utmost, but he will not succeed. Oh, you've heard me say, I'm sure, of the lady at Harpen and Bethesda. She was coming towards her end of days upon this earth, and she had a dream of all her sins listed before her, Satan there pointing to every one, and she was in a dreadful state. And he came to the end of the list, and it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. She woke up in peace. Her Lord was with her. Her salvation was sure. She died a few days later. Oh, dear friends, how great a God we have, don't we? Who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's good, isn't it, to be able to return thanks unto God at this time of year which has been allocated. We don't say it's the exact time, but allocated to think specifically of the birth of Jesus. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This man shall be the peace. And dear friend, when we come to the end of life's journey, mark the perfect man. Well, there's only one who's been perfect, that's Jesus. But through faith in his death and his resurrection, his ascension, all the truth that it is in Jesus, and the power of that shed blood to cleanse us from all sin, then the Lord's people are perfect. Mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. May our ends be peace, when the Lord, in his time, in his way, brings us to that time, that we can look up, live and dwell with him forevermore. Oh, what a peace it must be to be there. This man shall be the peace. Amen.